Right now, we're continuing our series called Encounter, and today we're going to start off with a question. And here's the question that I want to ask you as we start off our message this morning, and here it is. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Many of you kind of look at that question and you're like, oh yeah, of course I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, I've followed Jesus since I was a little guy or little girl. But I want to stop and really let you sit on it a little longer than normal. Don't dismiss this question. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Kyle Eidelman wrote a book. He's a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky. And the Eidelman family are really dear friends of ours here at RCC. He wrote a book called Not a Fan, and he talked about, there's two responses to that question. One response is this, and that is the Jesus fish on the back of the car group, all right? You're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to the Christian section of the bookstore. And asking if you're a Christian is like walking into a bar in Northeast Florida and saying, hey, are there any Jag fans in here? I mean, it's like, yeah, of course. There's Jag fans in Northeast Florida. And you kind of, you know, you kind of dismiss it. But I just want to make sure you're aware that you really need to quickly not dismiss it, but think about this for just a moment. Not been there, done that, bought the shirt, all right? I'm not looking for that kind of response. I'm asking you to also focus on this. I'm not asking about, when I'm asking that question, you know, do you go to church? I'm not asking, do your parents or grandparents, are they Christian? I'm not asking you, you raised your hand at the end of a sermon one time. I'm not asking if you, you know, have one or three more Bibles in your house. I'm not asking, you know, if you ever appeared in a church directory. Remember those? I'm not asking if you went to VBS or church camp growing up. I'm not asking if your ringtone's a worship song either. I'm not asking that when you pray that you utilize five or more synonyms for God. I'm not asking that you've ever given someone a testament. You know what a testament is? They're breath mints with Bible verses. I don't know if you've seen this, you know. Powerful, fresh breath, also powerful verses, all right? I'm not asking, do you say bless your heart before speaking badly about someone, all right? I'm not asking that either, all right? Many of us say we're followers of Jesus Christ, but I'm not sure we quite understand what this really entails. If we just kind of assume if you're a follower I'm okay, but I want you to pray as this message is going on that God will either confirm that belief or he'll convict that, you know what, I need to up my game. I need to go further in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there's a second group in reference to that question that Kyle talks about. And this group, they kind of ask this question. Here's the question they ask about that question. Hey, why is there a fish on the back of my friend's car? Like, they don't have a clue what's going on. Like, what's up with that? And you might be in that group. You don't really understand really the question, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I mean, it's no offense that you respond that way to us. You're just not really into it. It's kind of like having friends in Star Wars. You ever have a friend in Star Wars? And they know how to speak and understand the insider-oriented galactic languages, you know. They're like really into it. And you kind of think it's weird. You kind of think it's, you know, that's fine for you, but you don't really get the appeal. And maybe that's you when it comes to Jesus. Listen, I'm not going to sell you Jesus by just telling you the parts, the appealing parts of Jesus Christ. But here's what I want to tell you if you're in group two. And don't tell the people in group one I said this, okay? If you're in group two, many of them assume in group one that they're followers of Jesus. But the truth is, listen, several signed up because they wanted Jesus to kind of change their eternity. But they don't know that Jesus actually came to change their life. Like right here, right now. They think God's, you know, greatest concern is to get them into heaven after they die. But really, it's more than that. God's biggest concern is to get heaven into you before you die. It's not totally all about final relocation. What God and Jesus are trying to do in us is about ongoing transformation. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to have a DTR. You know what a DTR is? A DTR is define the relationship conversation. You ever had one of those, a define the relationship conversation? Usually happen in dating. You know, you starts off with the scariest words a man could ever hear. You know the scariest words a man could ever hear? Here they are. We need to talk. It's like, oh. Man, it's just scary. Even in marriage, you're like, oh no, here it goes. Right? How do DTR conversations go, especially when you're dating? Go something like this. Hey, is this like a casual thing? Like, where's this relationship going? How many of you have ever had a DTR conversation in a dating relationship? Raise your hand if you ever had one of those, all right? DTR, all right? Uncomfortable, right? Awkward. But every healthy relationship has them. Is this relationship going somewhere? Like, are we really committed to one another, DTR? Right? Kyle says this, he writes this in his book, many believe they're followers of Jesus, but if they were honest to defining the relationship, I'm not sure, the DTR, I'm not sure if it'd be adequate to describe them as followers. Kyle writes, it seems to me a better word than followers of Jesus Christ would actually be fans of Jesus. Fans. They're not followers, they're fans. So what's a fan? Fan definition is this. They're enthusiastic admirers. That's a fan. They're not followers, they're enthusiastic admirers. Now you know what a fan is. A fan gets all dressed up, right? Gets all dressed up, they paint their face, they end up putting stuff in their nose, like this guy right here, kind of freaky, kind of weird, right? Imagine if your daughter brought him home from, you know, hey, this dad, this is my new boyfriend. I'd be like, we need to talk, okay? But that's a fan, like they go all in and they dress up and they go to the game and they slap stuff on their car. But listen, they're never on the field, right? They never break a sweat. The head coach doesn't know who they are. They're out there in the stands. That's a fan. A fan's not on the field. A fan doesn't have to sacrifice. All they got to do is just kind of show up every now and then. And you know, if their team loses, their passion quickly starts to go away. Family, Jesus was really never interested in having fans. And when he defines that kind of relationship he wants, enthusiastic admirer is not one of them. The concern is that many of our churches have gone from sanctuaries to stadiums. That every week people come to the stadium, but they have no interest in actually following Jesus. They want to stay as fans. And what happens is we don't make Jesus our master. We end up trying to diminish Jesus so he's our mascot instead. And the biggest threat to the church today are fans who call themselves Christians, who are willing to trust Jesus, you know, with my eternity, but not trust Jesus with my Monday and not my Tuesday. So which one are you is the question today. Are you a fan of Jesus? Or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And how you answer that question, how do you base it? Do you base it off of your family heritage or biblical knowledge? Maybe your faith is more about honoring your heritage than it is about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you were raised in church and not really raised in Jesus, right? In the Gospels, there's this DTR conversation that Jesus has with a man, and it's amazing an encounter as we continue the series about encountering. Amazing encounter with Jesus. This man's name is Nicodemus. Everybody say Nicodemus on the count of three. One, two, three. Nicodemus. That's his name. And he's not just a fan. Like, this guy is part of this religious elite group called the Sanhedrin. There's 72 people, and they're big and kind of determining, you know, the factors. Even they're the people who decide if Jesus was to stay alive or Jesus was to die. He is part of this elite group. And he comes to Jesus, and the Bible says this DTR moment happens at a certain time of day. Nicodemus approached Jesus. Look what it says. He came to Jesus, when church, at night. At night. Here is the original phrase, where it's based out of, for the phrase right here, the origin of the phrase, Nick at night, right here. That's where it came from. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe so. Never know. All right. But it would be easy. Listen, it'd be easy to dismiss this point right here, but don't do that. Why would he come to Jesus at night? I mean, he could have come to Jesus any time of day, but he comes to Jesus at night. Why? Because no one sees him approaching Jesus. At night, he could start building a relationship with Jesus without anyone else, any of his friends, any of his coworkers, any of his family picking up on it. He could talk to Jesus at night, quietly make a decision in his heart, privately, right? Privately believe in Jesus the way it wouldn't disrupt his comfort, wouldn't disrupt his established life that he worked so hard for. That sounds a lot like a fan, like fans I know. And fans are happy to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't require any significant changes, as long as it doesn't require any negative implications to my life. And here's a reality that's about to be dropped on Nicodemus. And here it is. There is no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. Amen. There is no way, church, to follow Jesus Christ without him interfering with your life. Following Jesus always costs something. And for Nicodemus, it would cost him his status. It would cost him relationships with family. It would cost him his income. In fact, I'd ask you this question. Here it is. Has following Jesus cost you anything? Has following Jesus cost you anything ever? Seriously, don't just nod and go, that's a good question, Pastor. I'm asking you, will you take a second and really think about this? Has following Jesus really cost you anything in your life? Has it interfered with your life? You know, we don't mind if Jesus wants to make minor tweaks. That's how fans are. We don't mind if he just wants to tweak parts of our life. But Jesus is looking for transformation. We don't mind as fans sometimes if Jesus wants to do a little touch up here and there. But Jesus is looking for like a complete renovation. We don't mind if Jesus inspires us, but Jesus actually wants to interrupt us. He wants to interrupt our lives. Nicodemus starts the conversation by making it clear that he has decided that Jesus is from God. There's something about Jesus that's supernatural. And this is huge. I mean, especially think about Nicodemus' background and the crowd he runs with. This is a huge step. Nicodemus had to come to the point that I would call believe that. He's at the believe that phase. Everybody say believe that on the count of three. One, two, three. Believe that. I believe that. This is Nicodemus. I believe that Jesus is from God. I mean, he's there. That's good. But where do you go from there? Where do you go? What's the next step from believe that? You will see that Jesus' interaction, that Jesus kind of gets right to it. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't do small talk. He says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You probably have heard that phrase, born again. In fact, this is the only time in the Bible that Jesus uses that phrase. And this would have been hard for a religious leader to hear because as a religious leader, he has spent his whole entire life building an impressive religious resume. But Jesus makes it clear to Nicodemus that his righteous acts, his religious rituals are not the measurements that he uses. Nicodemus must humble himself and be born in a new way of life. Jesus puts it this way. He says, you must be born, read it with me, church, born of what? Water and spirit. This is a reference, a double meaning of baptism, that which we are immersed in the water, which symbolizes that we are immersed in the spirit. Nicodemus has made decisions, got to make a decision here about Jesus, but that's not the same thing as following Jesus. See, Jesus needed and wanted Nicodemus to move from believe that to believe in. He wants to move him from believe that to believe in. Jesus didn't just want Nick at night, right? He wants Nick all the time is what he wants. So let me ask you this question. Are you believing that about Jesus or are you believing in Jesus? Are you a believe that category, or are you in a believing in category, DTR, relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, we tend to define belief as acceptance of something that is real, something that is true, but you can believe something is true and never really rely on it for a single second, for a single moment. Let me give you an example of between believe that and believe in. You can believe that a plane can get you from here, Northeast Florida, all the way to Australia. You can believe that. But believing in gets in that plane, straps on the seatbelt, and flies over the Pacific Ocean. That's a whole different experience, right? You can believe that person is wonderful and good looking, and I want to spend the rest of my life with them. You can believe that. Believing in buys a ring, pops the question, walks down the aisle. You see the difference? Totally different. Christianity is more than intellectual acceptance. It's a heartfelt acknowledgement of truth. It's a commitment to follow a certain person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And following someone requires more than just acknowledgement. It requires movement. It requires a change in your life. Jesus is looking for more than just words to your beliefs. He's looking for seeing how you actually live out your life. And when we decide to believe that Jesus without making a commitment to believe in Jesus and actually follow him, then we have become nothing more than fans. So in case someone left it out and forgot to mention to you, when it comes to giving my life to Jesus and becoming a Christ follower, let me be crystal clear. There's no forgiveness without repentance, without movement. There's no salvation without surrender. There is no life without death. There is no believing without really following. And so this nighttime meeting ends, and we're not told at this point what Nicodemus is thinking in his head and his heart when Jesus says to him, be born again. But we know that Jesus is not done with Nicodemus because this conversation continues. This encounter happens again. If you have your Bibles, go from John chapter 3 to John chapter 7. Just four chapters later, between John 3 and John 7, Jesus' popularity is on the rise. And the Sanhedrin noticed this. And they're getting super jealous, right? Because they want the limelight. They want to call the shots. And so now they're trying to peg Jesus as a false teacher. And so they gather together and they bring Jesus before them, 72-member group. Nicodemus is a part of it. And Nicodemus is sitting there in this group of people and they're railing on Jesus. They're trying to conspire this whole concoction, this whole idea that Jesus is a false prophet. And Nicodemus thinks a lot about Jesus, but he's stuck. He's like, what do I do? Do I go with the crowd and keep my mouth shut? Or do we do something else because of Jesus Christ? And you've all been there, right? You've all been there. Do I go with the crowd or do I take a stand for Jesus? Look what happens. They're going after Jesus. They're railing on them. They're coming up with false accusations. They're trying to trip him up. And finally, after all this, all these attacks on Jesus, Nicodemus raises his hand. He's one of the 72 Sanhedrin. And he says, excuse me, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? This is massive. He is standing up. This is, don't mess this church. He is risking his reputation. He's speaking against all of his peers on behalf of Jesus. Now, family, this is no longer a private conversation going on in his head. I mean, this is believing that is moving right now towards believing in. He allows what he believes to interfere with his job. He allows what he believes to interfere with his relationships. He allows what he believes to interfere with his future. And in that moment, he moves from just being a secret admirer. And now the focus goes from Jesus to Nicodemus. And look what Sanhedrin say to Nicodemus. They say, are you from where? Galilee too? Now you go, that's not a big deal. That's a huge deal. Because what they're saying to Nicodemus right here is they're saying, you know what? Are you one of those knuckleheads from the hillbilly country of northern part of Israel? Are you one of those rednecks? It's like an Ivy grad, you know, making fun of an SEC grad or something like that, right? You're just like, you don't know what you're talking about. This Jesus doesn't know. You know where he's from. He's a complete goofball. Are you from there too? Now just think about this for just a moment. I just want you to hear. They're trying to embarrass him. The Sanhedrin laugh at Jesus. And now they're taking what they're laughing at. And now they're attacking Nicodemus with it. This is a threat to his religious reputation. Listen, that he has worked so hard to establish. This is a reality check for Nicodemus that I have discovered that there is the same moment with every believer of Jesus. We are put in a position where we have to decide, am I a fan or am I a follower? There's those moments where you have to decide, am I a fan? You know what? Jesus is cool and all that. Or am I a follower? He is my Lord. He is my Savior. Any hope that Nicodemus may have had of following Jesus wouldn't interfere with his life has now been shot down when these guys start saying, are you from Galilee too? And at the end of John's gospel, there's another reference to Nicodemus, and I love this. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to John 19. We go from chapter 7 all the way to chapter 19. And in chapter 19, Jesus has been crucified for your sins and my sins. And this guy named Joseph sees this, and they're about to dump Jesus' body in a common grave because Jesus has been crucified as a criminal. He's a criminal, is how the Roman government looks at it. So they're going to get rid of his body. But Joseph doesn't want that to happen. So he goes to the officials. He says, can I have the body of Jesus? And they give it to him. But I want you to see what happens next. This is so cool. We read these amazing words that help us kind of close the loop on Nicodemus' incredible faith journey. Look what happens next. Joseph was accompanied by whom, church? He was accompanied by who? Read it with me. Nicodemus. And in case you're wondering which Nicodemus this is, John says this, the man who earlier had visited Jesus when church at night. Nicodemus had brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Now that's a big deal, but that's not the biggest deal here. Yeah, he gave money in honoring Jesus, but there's no longer, listen church, a chance of hiding his affection for Jesus now. He's now in broad daylight. In fact, when most others abandoned Jesus and everyone else was hiding, think about that, most of his followers were hiding, here's Nicodemus in the middle of the whole world saying, you know what? He is the Messiah. He is now this courageous gesture of affection and devotion, letting everyone know that he has moved from believe that to believe in. He's moved from fan to follower. And I just want to say to you right here, here it is. Nicodemus went all in. He went all in with Jesus when everybody else did what? Everybody else ran out. And I just want to take you back to the moment that I had with Jesus. Today I'm calling you to take the same step. The moment I did, when I told everybody, I told the whole world, I was a shy kid. Man, I was so shy. I would not get in front of 10 people and talk. I mean, I was just so shy. But the Spirit grabbed a hold of me, and it moved me from a fan, and it moved me into a follower. I became a believe that person, and then I formed into a believe in person when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was baptized. And today, I'm encouraging you to move and walk across that line from being a fan to being a follower. From moving from a believe that to moving towards believing in Jesus. I'm asking you to get in the game. I'm asking you to get out of the stands and get on the turf with Jesus. I'm asking you to identify yourself not just in believing Jesus, but saying more than that, he is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is the Son of the living God. I'm asking you to go all into Jesus by going all under in a Christian baptism. You know, Christian baptism is a sacred and beautiful moment. It is a DTR moment, define the relationship moment, when people demonstrate that they're not just fans of Jesus anymore, they're actually followers. I'm a follower of Jesus. Let me kind of set this up and what I'm asking you to do today. Some of you today are prepared. You've been thinking about this. You've been praying about this. And you're ready to go all in. Now, some of you listening right now, you didn't plan on doing this today. But you listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's prompting you right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, never reject the Holy Spirit. You'll never, ever regret following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You'll never regret it. If the Spirit right now is prompting you to do this, you need to obey that. You need to listen to that. In fact, you guys online, if you're listening online right now, you can come and be baptized right now. Come to the service right now or come to the service after. Go ahead and head towards us right now. If the Spirit is prompting you in the room online, you need to follow that prompting. Don't deny it. This day may not have been on your calendar, but this day was on God's calendar before you were born. So let me set this in. Let's just set this up. This couldn't be a more perfect day than today to do that. We've got everything ready for you. We got the jacuzzi for Jesus over here ready for you, all right? It's chlorinated. It's clean. It's heated up. Everything is ready for you. I'll tell you what, our pastor would be baptizing you. I want you to know we've never dropped anyone, all right? Baptism is a burial of Christ, and there's a resurrection, and I promise you, we will bring you back up, all right? That happens 100% of the time. You go, Pastor, I haven't taken a baptism class. This is your baptism class. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're moving from a fan to a follower, you need to take that step. You need to say, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I believe he's the only way for eternal life. I believe he's the only way that all my sins can be washed away. I commit to following him the rest of my life. If that's you, this is your step. This is your baptism class. You go, well, my kids are in the kids ministry, and you know, and what's going to happen with them? I talked to the kids ministry, and they said you can keep them here all week. All right, they're totally fine. All right, they're going to hear about Jesus. It's a win-win. All right. You may go, well, I didn't come prepared. You know, I don't have any towels or anything. We have towels come out of our ears backstage. All right, we got that ready. You go, well, I didn't come dressed. I don't have anything to wear to get baptized in. I don't know if you know, this was scientifically proven that anyone who gets wet eventually gets dry. I don't know if you know that, but we've got shirts back there for you that you can have and get baptized in as you're clothed with Christ. We got shorts back there. We have everything taken care of. We have dressing room back there. We have a bathroom back there for you. Everything's taken care of for you back there. By the way, we've had almost 90 baptisms thus far in 2022 here at RCC. And I know, almost 90 baptisms. Last year we had 101. And we're going to blow through that number, amen, this year. More people give their life to Christ through RCC and this local church family than ever before. And you can be a part of it. You may be by yourself and a little nervous. Just talk to the person next to you and go, hey, will you go with me? As we go forward, will you go with me so I'm not alone? I promise you, they'll say yes. They'll come with you and encourage you. You may go, well, I'm a little older. Hey, we'll go slow, all right? We'll go slow. You may be with your spouse. Both of you come up. We baptize couples together. We baptize families together. You go, well, I'm tall. We'll baptize you in sections, okay? We'll figure it out. You may want someone that you're with. Be baptized. You want to baptize them, bring them up. We'd love to do that with you. Maybe today you're going, you know what? I'm concerned what other people think. Listen to me right now. Don't let anyone else's opinion keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Amen. Some of you, that's been stumping you. You've been in prison with that whole thinking for so long. I get it. Nicodemus gets it. But he moved from being a fan to a follower, no matter what anybody else thought. Some of you are like, well, I've been here for a long time in RCC, and other people probably think I'm baptized, but I'm not. I'm embarrassed by that. Once again, don't allow what others think of you keep you from doing what God has said and told you to do. I'm praying right now that the Word of God will penetrate any kind of pride right now that's in the room or online. I'm praying right now the Holy Spirit will pierce any spirit of hesitancy. I've had old and young say to me, it's just too late for me. Listen, it's never too late for God. And if you got a pulse, I promise you this, God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. I guarantee you that. You go, well, I'm nervous. I'm nervous too. I never know what's going to happen from one service to the next service. All I know is that the towels are ready, the jacuzzi is ready, and the volunteers are ready, and all heaven is ready to celebrate, and this church is ready to praise. Amen? This church is ready to praise God. The only thing missing is you. Jesus Christ was whipped, stripped, beaten, and nailed to a cross for you. Will you walk down the aisle and be drenched for Him? Will you go all in by going all under in Christian baptism today? So here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to stand. Everybody please stand right now. And we're going to do the confession of faith. Everybody please stand up. And if you're a believer, you remember this moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and you confess this. And we're going to do it together. If you've been baptized, this reminder of that confession you made the day that you were baptized. And others of you, you probably said this, but you were kind of more of a fan, more of a believe that. And now, you're now a follower. Spirit is prompting you. It's moving your heart right now. And not only are you going to say this with your mouth, you're going to say it now with your heart. You're going to say it with your soul. And what we're saying right now is a massive, big deal. And so I'm encouraging you right now, if you're saying this, and you've never been baptized, you know what your next step is. So let's say it all together on the count of three. One, two, three. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can we give God the praise for that confession right now? Some of you are making that confession. You know what your next step is. And I'm begging you, don't be a fan, be a follower. Get in the game. Get in the game and stand with Jesus saying, He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is the Son of the living God. And I will follow Him. And now it's time for me to go all in by going all under. And if that's you, I want you in a second. I want to pray. And then I want to count to three. And then you're going to move over here to your left, my right, and you're going to walk in those doors. And we got a team out there ready for you, and we're going to get you baptized today. Isn't that awesome? I cannot wait to see that. Nicodemus was told by Jesus, we don't know where the wind is coming from, and we don't know where it's going. But then he says this, the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's born of the Spirit of God, we don't know how the wind of the Holy Spirit is moving right now in this room, online. We don't know. All we know, it could be one, it could be 21, it could be 41. I don't know. All I know is that we are ready for anyone. And I want to encourage you with this. If you've been baptized, when these people walk up and they walk out, I want you to celebrate, church. I want you to celebrate with them. I want to pray over you right now. Let me pray. Father God, we just pray for a wave of your Spirit to move right now from the front row to the back row. We're asking you to move in this room online right now in people's homes. Father, I sense there are people who are ready to go all in right now. They're ready to move from a fan to a follower. They're ready to identify, just as Nicodemus did, with Jesus Christ. Lord, may we all enjoy this moment as we come together and worship you and celebrate what you're doing in our lives and in other people's lives through Jesus. He is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is the Son of the living God. Lord, have your way right now in this moment. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, amen. So when I count to three, and you know it's you, and the Spirit's prompting you right now, don't deny it, don't dismiss it, go for it, and you're going to experience so much love and so much support as you walk down the aisle and you head over to get baptized. It's going to be amazing. And church, they're going to experience that, aren't they? We're going to step up and we're going to celebrate them in a massive, big way. So I want to count to three. And if this is your moment to make that decision to follow Jesus in baptism, I want you to simply walk down the aisle. Many have already done this, and many are going to do it right now. I want you to step down the aisle and walk out. I want to count to three. Here it is. Ready? One, in honor of the one who died for you. Two, don't be afraid. Say yes to Jesus. Three, won't you come right now, walk down the aisle, head to the door, and be baptized in Jesus Christ. Can we give God the praise for these brothers and sisters who are making that commitment today? You can join them. You can join them. Amen. It is awesome. Amen. Amen. Some didn't plan it. You may not plan it, but you can change. You can say, you know what? Today's the day I'm walking through that door. So church, if you change your mind, you know what? God's prompting me. Let's do it. Do it right now. Come back there as we worship him, church. Amen. Can we give God the glory as we watch our brothers and sisters get baptized today in Jesus?